last few minutes. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way. You just feel like you need a touch from God. You need something from Him right now. You're not going to wait till the next service. Can we just open our hearts to Him and just, Lord, You are the rest and the refreshing, Lord. You cause the weary to rest in Jesus' name, Lord. We come before You, Lord, with open hands and open hearts to You this morning in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, that You are a God that is able. You're the God that is here. You're our ever-present help in time of need. Lord, we depend upon You, Lord, in every part of our life in Jesus' name, Lord. We're anticipating, we're expecting, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, in this place, Lord. You renew our strength, Lord, when our strength is gone, Lord. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness, Lord, and I thank You for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for all You're able to do and all that You've done and all that You're going to do in this place today. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift You up, Lord. We lift our hearts to You, Lord. We lift our hands to You, Lord. In the name that is above all names, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
God is my refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble. God is my refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble. God is my refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble. God is my refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble. And He will hide me under the rock, under the rock, under the rock. And He will hide me under the rock, and I'll be safe in a time of trouble. And He will hide me under the rock, under the rock, under the rock. And He will hide me under the rock, and I'll be safe in a time of trouble. God is my refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble. God is my refuge and strength, I'll be safe in the time of trouble. And He will hide me under the rock, under the rock, under the rock. And He will hide me under the rock, and I'll be safe in a time of trouble. And He will hide me under the rock, under the rock, under the rock. And He will hide me under the rock, and I'll be safe in a time of trouble.
Praise the Lord.
Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I talk to when there's no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know He's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by. all around me is sinking sand. On Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. The storms have all passed over. Where do I run to? When the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? In the time of tribulation, where my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the
when the earth all around me,
all around me is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning,
safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting.
Hallelujah. He's strong enough. He's sturdy enough. He's been tried and tested. I've stood upon him. I've had to lean upon him and rely upon him. He's able to withstand that weight. And I know there's someone here that could testify. He can hold the weight. He is able. Hallelujah. I think he's worthy of a hand clap of praise. If we could just stand at this time. I mean, it's important, I believe, to stand for the reading of the word, but in the Lord's Prayer, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, just to give honor to him. You know, maybe we don't see everybody else do that, but, you know, in my heart, my life, I want to honor him. I want to honor him. He's worthy of that honor. I want to do that. He's worthy of that respect. I'm not doing it for any other reason, just to give it to him. It's not for me, but it's all for him. We're going to go into a lesson. This week's lesson is called A Life-Changing Message. We're going to go into our text this morning. I have a couple different scriptures I'm going to read. And John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And Acts 17:5-9 reads this, "But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bastard sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come thither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go." There's two sides to this. These are the ones that turn the world upside down. This is motivation for us, but it was trying to provoke something in somebody else. But it's another example, what the enemy intended for evil, God is using for good. The enemy tried to beat us down. You guys are trying to mess with my routine, mess with my comfort zone, mess my nest. That's my motivation. Hallelujah. You can be seated at this time. Brother and Sister Rodriguez started a church in National City, California. They would spend $20,000 in renovating this building, seat over 100 people. Right after that, the fire department came into the building and red-tagged it. The building, saying that they needed more doors and sprinkler systems to be installed, the city was making an attempt to try to shut this church down. Rodriguez took a suggestion from a friend and contacted the local congregational church. The pastor of the church didn't care for the idea of renting after having a previously bad experience. But after agreeing to meet and talk, the pastor had a change of heart and worked out a reasonable price for rent. 2 days later, not only were they renting the building, but the pastor invited Brother Hernandez to greet his congregation. Only a few months later, the pastor of the congregational church resigned. The board asked Ezekiel to preach for them and soon elected him pastor. They even chose to accept his doctrinal positions and teachings from the Pentecostal perspective. In less than 6 months, the Apostolic Church had gone from being a homeless church to having a beautiful building of their own. God is able to take a situation that seems like it's against us, and God's able to turn it into something better. A setback is a setback, and that's all it is. We need to not listen to what the enemy says and says your setback is your downfall. Your setback means this isn't going to happen. A setback is a setback. That's all it is. And God's creating more opportunities in those setbacks for something bigger and greater. We should not be discouraged when there's a setback. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. That setback is just a delay in what's going to happen for that promise to be fulfilled. That's all it is. Let's be encouraged, each other, in our faith, and say a setback is a setback. That's all it is. We're moving forward. God's promises did not change. He did not change his mind. He's not slack concerning his promises. It was just a setback and nothing more. We're going to keep moving forward. God uses Paul and Silas in Philippi in casting out a demon-possessed woman who was a fortune teller. The men who capitalized from her being possessed were furious because she couldn't tell fortunes anymore and they couldn't make any money. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. But while they were in prison, God sent an earthquake. And during that midnight worship services, the prison doors opened, and the result was a conversion of a jailer and his family. That setback, why did this happen to me? I was just trying to help somebody out that needed to be delivered. That setback opened the door for him to go to the jailer's house to see his whole family converted, and that's all it was. You may be dealing with something personally. Don't be discouraged. I'm here to encourage you right now. That is just a minor delay. Everything is in motion to go forward. Things are going to be opening in your life to be bigger and greater than you can even imagine. Just like Peter was obedient after being told 3 times to go to Cornelius' house. That door was open not just to Cornelius, but to a whole house full of people. That setback, that delay is an opening for bigger and greater. God is bigger and greater. He has bigger and greater things in store, bigger doors and opportunities. Forgive me for thinking small. Forgive me for thinking just like little peon. God is greater. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. According to the power that worketh within me, working is a verb. It requires action. I need to stir up this gift. I need to activate it. God, you are able. I need to activate your work that is in my life. There is more power within me than I can even possibly imagine. I just need to activate that work within me. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. What I can wrap my mind around is just a glimpse. But God is going to so surpass that, I believe, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody's faith. I want somebody's faith to be increased here this morning just for a few minutes. Let's build each other up. Hallelujah. I want to be encouraged. I need encouragement. There's times I come in here, and I'm going to need encouragement from my brothers and sisters. But I'm here for a moment to encourage somebody else. God is bigger and greater, and he has bigger and greater in store, and I need to stop praying small prayers and start praying big prayers and start believing big things and greater things are going to happen. I did not plan on doing this. Could everybody get up and move about 2 spaces over, one way or the other? By faith, you are moving and making room for somebody else to come and sit in your seat in the next weeks to come. Faith in action. My faith is working. I'm doing this to make room for somebody else by faith in Jesus' name. I've heard about it. I've heard it talked about it. He keeps repeating himself. You're like, you're going this, you're doing this again? You're saying this again? Yes, I am. Because I'm expecting it. My faith says it's going to happen. Jason was accused of supporting Paul and Silas. He's a new convert. New converts are coming in here, okay? But they're going to have a target on their back. They were coming after Paul and Silas, but they're like, we couldn't find Paul and Silas. I'm coming after Jason, the new convert, and whoever was with Jason. Let's get him in here and bring him before these city officials. I want to take him out to the city square, but no, wait a second. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do better. I'm going to take Jason in front of the city officials and make an example out of him. And I can't imagine them taking Jason all proper-like. Jason, will you please come with us? We don't approve of your message. I think it was more like this. Hey, bro, I want to take my jacket here. I believe they grabbed Jason. Jason, you're stirring up trouble. Paul and Silas stir up trouble where they were at before. These are the ones that are turning this world upside down. And they are messing with my nest. They are messing with my traditionalism. They are messing with the way that we've always been doing things. And you know what? I don't want to see this happen in my town. I like the way things happen in my town. It is normal. It is quaint. It is quiet. It is a peaceable town. I like this boring and sleepy town. But you know what? There's a sleeping giant. God is awakened, and he said, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. And Jason is being drugged, but Jason, I don't believe he walked away. I believe he was encouraged. I believe he bought into what Paul and Silas were talking about. I never seen anybody in Scripture successfully try to shut somebody down that was trying to advance the kingdom of God. And there's something that has been waking inside of me, and I've only talked to Brother Wells about this, that it is keeping me awake at night, and I can't sleep, and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to see the kingdom of God advance in Jesus' name. I want to see this thing move forward. I can't move. I have to activate this power that is in me. It has to be activated. It has to be working. I have to use it. It can't be stagnant. God says, stir up the gift. It only takes a little bit of stirring for it to be activated. But when it is activated, the enemy, the gates of hell start to tremble because you have an aggressive approach. And he wants you to buy into this approach that you just need. You need to just be calm. Just do your thing week after week, month after month, year after year. But God is awakening us in this final hour. There's only so much time left. God is going to renew the strengths of the ones of the older and elder generation in this church. You're going to feel 10, 20 years younger because he's going to do a quick and a new work within you in Jesus' name. He wants to see those prophecies fulfilled and wants you to see them with your own eyes. He wants to renew your spirit. Israel was wakened after he knew that his son Joseph was not dead after all those years. His spirit revived. He was like a young person again. God wants to revive you right now. He wants to revive this older generation. There's multiple generations in this church, but he wants to revive the older generation. And I'm here to encourage you. God is going to make you feel young again because he's going to do a quick work in this place. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I'm expecting it. I did not plan on saying this, but this is by the unction of the Holy Spirit. God is going to do it. Brother Grimm, where is he? I'm thinking of Brother Gary. He is one guy I cannot keep up with on Sunday morning. Brother, you're 77 years old, right? 78 years old. If you ever played basketball with him, he plays like he's 28. God's going to do it. I'm expecting it. Things are going to happen. I need to tell you what's happened. Some amazing things are happening in Moline. I don't know if you got Moline on your Facebook page, but I want to encourage you to friend request Brother Gary Randall, the pastor of the church. Just a few weeks ago, it was on a Wednesday night service when a lot of churches were closed due to the weather. They had a service. Doors were open. Somebody was filled with the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night Bible study. But not just that, he's got a passion for children. And I know that this is a church that has also a passion for children. But the enemy doesn't like this. Somebody went in during the week and punctured holes in all the gas tanks of the church vans and buses. It wasn't just that, but Brother Wallace, you got that picture? It was within just a few days after that, but somebody shot a hole through the front door of the church. People are going to falsely accuse. God's going to do something here. I'm expecting it. We're going to deal with falsely accused. We're going to deal with some persecution, okay? This is going to happen. But Lord, let your promises be fulfilled. We're going to have to encourage each other that when this happens, something else is going to be triggered. But the kingdom of God is going to advance regardless. They're going to be unsuccessful attempts. Attempts are going to happen. Attempts are going to happen and come against this church. Are going to come against you personally. But the kingdom of God is going to advance regardless of that. Regardless of those false accusations. Regardless of those discouragements. This is why we need the church more than ever to encourage each other. I don't know who it's going to be. What kind of personal attack somebody's going to have. But I tell you what, we're going to come around them. We're going to encourage them. The cage has been rattled. The fur is beginning to fly. When you mess with the nest of the enemy's comfort zone, you don't like it. It's too bad. God's kingdom is advancing, is moving forward in Sandwich, Illinois. Accusing of Jason, they do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. All I know is this. Complacency is a companion of the enemy. He wants you to be laid back. He wants you to feel good and everything's going okay. The fact is, everything that's not going okay recently in your life is evidence that he knows that something's about ready to cut loose here. Advancing the kingdom is all I have on my mind. We speak of other people being possessed, but we speak of somebody here that comes to be spirit-filled. What's wrong with being spirit-possessed by God? That dude is on fire. That woman is a worshiper. I'm going to go where God's leading me right now. I know somebody personally that was personally attacked before she would come to church. I'm not going to mention this person's name, but they have gone to a local church in the area. And this person would come to church with a black eye with her face puffed up, and she'd bring her children anyways. If we are not personally being persecuted, we need to pray for those ones that are, the ones out in the mission field, the ones that aren't getting support from their spouses, and they're coming by themselves here. We need to be praying for them. Lord, have your hedge of protection around them. Give them strength. Come in here every Sunday encouraging somebody that is walking in through these doors by themselves, because we have no idea what they had to face before they got here. It seems all safe and comfortable and cozy when you're in here, but we have no idea some of the hell some people have to go through before they get here. Give them heaven. Give them God's love. Encourage them in Jesus' name. These are all unsuccessful attempts that the enemy is going to try to do. Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. He even testified before another mob in Jerusalem in Acts 22 and 20. It says, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Yes, somebody may persecute us, but that person may be the most on fire for God person this church has ever seen. That person that may be coming against this church or an individual of our church coming to attack us. It could be a modern day Paul. Be like, "I don't like what you're doing and I hate what you're doing. I'm going to call the city on you. I'm going to call the police on you." That could be the one person that is just on fire for God more than ever. I'm not going to be discouraged. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's just forget about it. I've already done forgot about it. What the enemy has. It ain't worth listening to anyways. He just likes to distract and likes to just waste my time. And I'm tired of time is of the essence. Time is precious. And I'm not going to waste my time with that anymore. Apostolics will occasionally experience persecution, as I just mentioned. I saw it happen here years ago between two Spanish ministers. One was a Trinitarian and one was a oneness minister. And they were in the back over there and they were arguing over Jesus' name, baptism. But the other one that wasn't baptized yet was eventually baptized in Jesus' name just months before God took him. So in the attempt to try to disrupt things, and I knew how much faith that guy had in that one minister that was so eloquently spoken and that was so against baptizing in Jesus' name, it was just a few months later he was baptized in Jesus' name. It wasn't just a few months after that that God took him. Advancing the kingdom. It's going to come with adversity. Let's take this thing head on. I want to move forward. There's times when God tells us to stand still, and we're going to stand still. But God is telling us, too, to move forward. It's time to move. I'm moving. I am moving this cloud over the camp, and I am moving this thing forward. We've been here for a while, but I'm moving. I want you to move with me. I'm taking this thing to places that you've never even dreamt or imagined in your lifetime. I'm going to take these elders of this church. I'm going to renew their strength. I'm going to do a quick work. Time is of the essence. He's not going to waste your time. Those setbacks, put them behind you. Samuel Ladd, a former missionary to Africa while in Liberia, worked to establish the United Pentecostal Church in the nearby country of Ghana. Some pastors from the Apostolic Church of Ghana accepted the oneness of God message and baptism in Jesus' names. Leaders from the Christian Apostolic Church wrote a letter to the government of Ghana accusing Samuel Ladd of being a political subversive. In his book, He Is Black and Blue, But He Is Not Through, Evangelist Ladd tells the story of being arrested by two soldiers, being seized at the Ghanaian airport, and accused him of being a political subversive. He was saying, you know what, this guy is trying to undermine the authority of this government. There was a high-ranking member of the Ghanaian government who met him on a previous plane ride, and he himself secured his release. But on another trip to Ghana, as he was advancing the kingdom, as he was moving forward, thugs robbed and beat him until he became unconscious, and he lay there beside the road until he was awakened by a rainstorm. Those attempts were unsuccessful in advancing the kingdom of God. I've never been beaten before I came to church, but others have. Have a coffee, have a Danish, have Bible reading, put on some worship music, get the clothes that came from the cleaners, take them out of the closet, get ready. Others are being cursed at. Others are being thrown against the wall. Others are being threatened with their life. Complacency is an enemy. It's our enemy. Some countries don't even allow missionaries. When filling out a form at the airport, some ask their occupation, they fill in teachers. First time I left the country, and there's this whole list of questions you had to ask. I asked Luke, I said, because he's traveled to so many countries, I said, what do I put down? Put down tourist. You know, and I did some tourist things, but I was going to an orphanage. I was going to a ranch. I'm like, okay. I mean, I did a lot of touristy things, but I went and worked on an orphanage also. But here's the thing. God, let me read this. Paul became what he needed to be to make the gospel as acceptable as possible to his audience. He didn't lie, nor did he alter his message, but he adapted to the context in an acceptable way to increase the effectiveness of spreading the truth of Christ. Paul made the necessary adjustments to get the truth out to advance the kingdom of God. God will take care of those who preach the gospel, who advance the kingdom. Maybe come in some heated arguments. You're not here to provoke an argument. We're here to be subject to higher powers. But we're to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to ask for wisdom. Let me see here. I want to make sure I don't miss this. Brother Bernard he suggested that we pray for the word of wisdom. That's one of the nine gifts. You know what needs to be said, but I need to know in the context of what to say it and the timing of to say it. I need a sensitive spirit as to when to engage in this conversation. I've been a part of, I've sat in many conversations that I do not take the bait in on, because I know that the people that are engaging in these so-called godly church God talks, they're trying to bait you to argue. I'm not here to argue with nobody. If there's a door open and somebody sincerely wants to know the truth, and somebody's not so concerned with being right and trying to win the argument, those are the ones. Lord, I need a sensitive spirit for those times and those situations. And we've had teachable moments where we didn't engage when God opened the heart of an individual and we just sat there and we didn't do anything about it.
but that's collateral damage, and those are teachable moments, and we need to put that behind us and just move forward. Lord, I know that you're going to open the doors, a heart's door of so many other people, and Lord, help me to have a sensitive spirit. Maybe you don't have that type A personality. Maybe you're an introvert. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think according to the power that worketh in me. He's able to turn any introvert into an extrovert, to give them boldness and a confidence. Even Paul himself prayed for boldness. If you need boldness today to be who God intends you to be, to say what God intends you to say, pray for boldness today. I'm going to wrap up real soon here. If we could stand. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'll never forget the look on my face when I looked in the mirror after walking out of here, after being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want other people to experience that same thing, that new creature in Christ experience, that old man that's put away and just, man, I ain't the same anymore, and I don't look the same, I don't feel the same, and I want that to be contagious. I want those that don't believe yet to believe that my life will be an example to make them want to turn their lives to Him. In the next few minutes, if we could do this, if there's anybody that's been stirred to give a Bible study this year, that you thought about it and you would love to give a Bible study to somebody this year, could you raise your hand? I want those to come forward, and I want nobody to just pray by themselves for the next few minutes, but I want to pray around the ones that desire to give somebody a Bible study, because I believe God's going to open the door for somebody to give a Bible study, but God's going to open the door. It's going to be so much bigger and so much greater when you open the door and when you walk into that person's house. You're not going to just walk into one individual's house, but there's going to be multiple people there, and God's going to do an amazing thing. He could take a church that was not a church and turn into a church of 3,000 in a moment. He's going to do a quick work. Things are going to happen quickly. We are in the last days. It's going to be fast. He's going to give you strength that you've never had before in Jesus' name. If you need boldness, I encourage you not to pray by yourself. If you could come forward and have somebody pray with you for boldness. Maybe you need a Lord, help me to have a sensitive spirit that I won't miss the opportunities that you have for me when you open the heart's door of an individual, that I will capitalize on it and I will share them your gospel message in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Maybe you haven't seen that door open recently and you've been praying. Keep knocking. That door is going to open. Keep knocking. Advancing the kingdom of God. Maybe it's something that's entertained your mind, that it's occasionally come across your thought process. Lord, I don't want to be just spirit-filled. I want to be spirit-possessed, consumed by you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, if I haven't been on fire for you, I want to be on fire for you like I've never been on fire before. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to be that consuming fire, Lord. Consume me, Lord. Hallelujah. Take this heart and this mind. Lord, let it be yours, Lord. Some of you need to be renewed. You need your mind renewed. You need your spirit renewed. You need the spirit. You need God to fall fresh on you. I encourage you to come forward. Lord, I need a touch from you before we get to this next hour. Lord, I need a touch from you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Oh, lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy.
Clap your hands, make a joyful noise.
blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. Weapons we use are our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. And we use on our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Lift your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. And praise Him for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praying for the victory. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. And praise Him for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory.
Thank you, Brother Kreger, for a wonderful word. Let me tell you why. That's all right. You can applaud that. That's fine.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Let me tell you why the enemy fights so hard. And why when you talk about teaching Bible studies, you're talking about reaching to people. The reason why there's such resistance in the spirit realm. The reason why that is because the enemy knows that this message is a life-changing message. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The reason why the enemy fights so hard when we talk about teaching Bible studies, we talk about reaching people, we talk about talking about people, or talking to people about the message, about Jesus Christ. And the reason why the enemy fights so hard is because he recognizes the power of the message of the cross. Because if you change a life through the power of the gospel, that life has the potential of changing a group. And that group has the potential of changing a city. And that city has the potential of changing a nation, and that nation has the potential of changing the world. From his missionary journeys, Paul and those that were under his teaching, the Bible said all that were in Asia, all that were in Asia heard the word of the Lord in the space of 2 or 3 years. Think about it. The power of one changed life in the Apostle Paul. What a difference it has made. We are even now on this Sunday morning teaching and preaching from his words. The reverberations of what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul are still being felt today. That's the power of the message. And that's why the enemy fights so hard when that opportunity opens itself at work and someone mentions something about what they're going through and starts the conversation, and you feel that resistance and you feel that awkwardness and you feel that uncomfortableness. And what you have to believe is that God's going to give you the words to say to press on through. Because the power is there at that very moment to completely change that life. And God only knows what changing that life will change in that family, will change in that group, will change. That's the power of the message. Help me to be sensitive. Brother Krager said, help me to be sensitive. God, help me to notice those open doors. My prayer for those that have come forward this morning, God, let them be sensitive. Lord, when that opportunity presents itself, when that door begins to open, let them with boldness and courage, God, walk through and believe in your power to change. All over this house, can we lift our hands or lift our voice? Lord, we thank you for this message, God. We are so honored to know you, God. We stand as living testimonies of the power of the message, God. What the gospel can do when applied to a life. And Lord, I know the enemy fights, God. He will accuse. He will do whatever he can to try to stop. But we understand, Lord, that if it be of you, there is nothing that can stop it. For if God be for us, who can be against us? There is nothing, absolutely nothing. In all of this world, there is no force of hell that can stop the advance of your kingdom. Help us to become involved. God, help us to get up from the sidelines. Help us to get in the game to see your power at work. In the name of Jesus. Just a few moments, our classes are going to be returning as they continue to sing and play. Why don't you, whether it's here at the front or in your pew, why don't you find a place to pray? Help me, God.
To pray.
This message has the power to change a life.
To be used of God.
Open the door for me, God. I know there's going to be resistance. The Apostle Paul said, there is opened unto me a door. And there are many adversaries.